We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I'd like to apologize. I was wrong. 20-17 is a huge high scoring game in the AFC South. I said 17-13. I apologize. Wow, what a barn burger last night.
You got the
I
game
love
that you
AFC
wanted
South
last night.
Football.
The AFC South is very interesting because it still is a three-team race for that division right now.
Yeah,
you've got
so
the Colts, the Texans, and the Titans are always around.
Get the 9-7 in that division every year.
Every year you get to 9-7 and you have an opportunity to win that division. And then you look at a division like, you know, our division where it's probably going to go down to the wire, could potentially go down to the wire with the Raiders and the Chiefs, even though the Raiders are losing to the Jets this weekend. You've got the AFC East, which is never a race. You got the AFC North, which is always going to be a fight, no matter who's in there, whether it's Pittsburgh or Baltimore. You know, that's always going to be a fight between those two. But that AFC South, man, anybody has the opportunity, it seems, to win that division, especially this year. And it changed the playoff seedings again last night. And the Chiefs go from the 3 seed now down to the 4 seed, which I don't necessarily have a problem with them being the 4 seed versus the 3 seed based on who the matchups were going to be in the playoffs. And we saw that if they were going to be the 3 seed, they would most likely have to play the Houston Texans up until yesterday in the playoffs. Now they get reduced down to the 4 seed. They'll still have a home playoff game, which is good, but now they'll take on the Buffalo Bills in that first round as opposed to a Houston Texans team who already beat them earlier in the year. And so I think I feel more comfortable playing Buffalo in the first round of the playoffs than I do playing maybe a Deshaun Watson in the first round of the playoffs. As I say that, Buffalo comes in and gets the win, and we all go home sad. So, that's where it is right now. Chiefs and Buffalo, if the season were to end today.
And
right?
I'm not even knocking the South because the Chiefs have obviously
had success.
Problems with
yes.
the South. But every time I turn into one of these games, it's the same freaking game.
It's the same game.
One-score, low-scoring game that if you get to 20, woo!
You're going to win.
I don't enjoy it. It looks the same to me every time. All those teams might as well just be the same uniforms.
Sure.
Every time those teams play, you notice maybe the Jags because they have a little brighter colors. But those other three, every time there's Houston or Indy or the Texans, I feel like, man, it looks the same every single time out. 10-10 at halftime last night. I'm going, oh, my goodness, here we go again. And a touchdown early fourth ends up being the difference. And now Houston takes the lead in the AFC South at 7-4. Colts 6-5 with the high scoring, high flying 20-17 win.
And every game, you're right, looks the same. Every team looks the same. It's amazing how certain divisions can have their teams play that same style of football no matter where they are. The AFC South is one of those that always plays these kind of bad games that aren't really aesthetically pleasing that anybody really wants to watch unless you got a rooting interest in it. And you've got that AFC North, which plays the same style of football. It seems like, you know, no matter what team you play for, really good defense, running game, bruising type of football. The NFC East has always kind of been that way as well. And then, like out here in the AFC West, it seems like you're opening it up more. You've got more high-flying offenses, or at least you've got teams trying to be, you know, these high-flying offenses, whether it's out in L.A., whether it's in, you know, Kansas City, Denver's doing whatever it is that they do. And now you're seeing Oakland trying to, you know, kind of open it up a little bit. It's really weird how divisions kind of take on the personalities the same of everybody in that division. And I don't know how that happens or why that happens. And like you look at the Big 12 and nobody wants to play defense in the Big 12. Everybody just wants to open it up and play offense in the Big 12. You would think if you flipped the script a little bit and maybe played a different style of football that was different than everybody else, maybe you would have a bigger opportunity to win and to kind of be a champion in that league or that division. But it seems like everybody in each division wants to try to play that same style of football. And I don't know if that's necessarily the best way to go out there and do things if you're trying to separate yourself from the pack and win a division or win a conference or win a league when it comes to the collegiate level. So we'll see ultimately, you know, who wins that AFC South division at 9-7 this year and where they end up ultimately playing in the postseason. But yesterday's game did have an impact on the Chiefs. They're now the 4th seed in the playoffs, and we'll have a home game against Buffalo if that season were to end today. And that's why we continue to put that importance on the Raiders going to New Jersey this weekend. and losing to the Jets, which I believe is going to happen, and that will allow the Chiefs to kind of separate themselves and kind of put the Raiders on the back burner as the calendar turns into December, and we look forward to the month of January and the postseason games here in Kansas City.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the two teams that played last night are very solid, very good. I'm always just surprised that those games are as kind of low-scoring as they are.
Sure.
I mean, Texans, I really like the Texans' offense.
Right.
But
they're always like you really like them and expect more, and they never deliver. I mean, it's like I don't even know how to explain analogy.
And the Colts are overachieving, so that's kind of a cool story too.
Right, it is.
Because you know they could have very well just went in the complete tank.
Could have folded the tent
when Luck was gone and they sucked for Luck before, whatever they're going to do this year, tank for Tua or whatever the causes were. They very well could have been that, and they're in the midst of a playoff chase. So,
right.
I mean, it should be more exciting, like aesthetically pleasing football, because I think watching Deshaun Watson is fun.
Yes.
Watching DeAndre Hopkins is fantastic.
Right.
Fuller was really good last night. They run the football. That should be more exciting to watch than it is, but I was like kind of holding my eyes open late in the game last night of that one. That was typical AFC South.
Well, and
myself.
I think ultimately the difference, though, is Josh. I think it's Andy Reid, and you see the difference that a head coach makes. And you know, I'm not a huge Bill O'Brien fan. I'm not a big believer in Bill O'Brien. But imagine if Andy Reid was leading that offense out there last night against the Houston Texans with Deshaun Watson. What they could have done differently, or what if Andy Reid was leading the Indianapolis Colts right now? Not to take anything away from Frank Reich, but I think that head coach Andy Reid makes a huge difference because he's willing to go out there and kind of go for the jugular. At times, I sometimes think like Deshaun Watson may get bottled up a little bit. Like I just don't know that they are utilizing his talents enough. Like I expect more every time I watch Deshaun Watson. I'm expecting something great, and every time at the end of the game, you're like, that was all right, but it wasn't like what you expected. And I think Patrick Mahomes,
terrific grinders in that division.
They are, yeah. But I think Patrick Mahomes has kind of set the bar and changed the way that we now perceive all of the young athletic quarterbacks in football right now. And I'll even throw Russell Wilson into that category. He's not really young anymore, but he's still athletic. He can still get after it. He's still a playmaker. So I think the way that Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid kind of came on the scene last year and doing kind of what they're doing this year, I think has set the bar, and I think it's really spoiled us. I think we're in a spot right now where, as Chiefs fans, we're spoiled by what we get every Sunday on offense. And I know I am. Like, when the Chiefs don't play on a Sunday, and I've got NFL Sunday tickets, so I'll sit there and try to watch some other games, I'm bored to tears by a lot of these teams. You know, I just am. Like, it's just not the same.
It's amazing how quickly that happened, too.
And it is, like, because 2 years ago, you know, we were dinking and dunking down the field.
Well,
right?
even I remember last year when we're doing interviews with, like, opposing, you're almost, like, apologetic, like, well, when you guys find your quarterback. Like,
right.
It was, like, so kind of, like, braggadocious already, like, man, all you gotta do is find your quarterback. This game's really easy.
Sure,
people.
Really easy. But find the quarterback and pair him with the right coach.
And offense is kind of that same way. When you have some offense, you're like, look at this, like, wow, you won a 20-17 game. Well, you should win those types of those are those hard type of grinded out type games you should win.
Right.
And teams like that, yeah, they're tough outs in the postseason.
Sure,
so,
they are.
So
and that's why I go to Monday night's
I'm not discounting that win.
I'm
just saying it's sometimes it's not as aesthetically pleasing as I'd like it to be when I watch specifically that division.
Sure. Like growing up a Giants fan, I'll watch the Giants, right? And I'll flip on those games and I'll have, they are boring as tears. I mean, it's just like boring. I'm like, I can't sit through this game. I got to hold my eyes open. Like, what am I watching here on a random Sunday? Or pick just two random teams, or even last night's game. Like, we have been so spoiled and blessed to have what we have here in Kansas City from a coach, quarterback, offensive standpoint that gives you excitement every single Sunday and the opportunity to win every single game at any time in that game. You always feel like you're in it. You always feel like you have an opportunity, and you always feel like you can score from anywhere on the field. And I don't think any other team gives you that opportunity because they're missing something. Like, I think in Houston, they're missing the right head coach. I think right now in Indianapolis, they're just trying to click right now and figure out what they have because of the change at quarterback that happened a week or 10 days to go, you know, before the season. Like, and I think that's why New England has been so special for so long. They're not boring to watch. They're an exciting team to watch. Obviously, they got the coach, they've got the quarterback, they've got the defense, they've got the history of doing it for so long. There are so few teams in not just the NFL, but in professional sports that have that right combination. And we can get upset at times with Andy Reid and some of the things that he does and whatnot. But at the end of the day, we need to take a step back, and myself included at times, take a step back and realize we got it really good here. What we have going on right now is really spectacular, and it's really, really rare in professional sports to have what we have going on right now, and that's on the cusp of a dynasty. Andy Reid's been here 7 years now already. Can you believe it's been that long that Andy Reid's been the head coach? He's been here 7 years already. That has outlasted how many coaches in the NFL since Andy Reid was hired for coach of the Chiefs. Guys don't last long this league.
Like seven jobs open every year something like that?
I mean, he may have gone a full cycle of coaches with everybody except for Bill Belichick and Mike Tomlin and Pete Carroll in this league. He may have outlasted every other team since he came here to Kansas City.
He refers to certain teams as like, he doesn't even know the coaches' names. It's just Coach Team.
Because
he's on the second go-around with different coaches.
Oakland's changed over since he's got here. Denver's changed over a couple of times since he's got here. The Chargers have changed over a couple of times since Andy Reid has got here. So the whole division has changed over since Andy Reid came on as head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. And so what we have here is the beginnings of, I think, a long-term dynasty that can have a long-term impact here in Kansas City. And I can tell you the plans are for long-term success, you know, with this coach and with this team, and not a lot of other teams in professional sports can say that. And so we've got something special going on here in Kansas City. And when you watch these other teams play, whether it's Thursday night football, Sunday afternoon when the Chiefs have a bye, or a Monday night game, or these Monday night games, we sit there and we watch and we're like, boy, that is a boring style of football because we've been so spoiled. And I believe for years to come, we are going to be spoiled even more with our quarterback, with our head coach, and everything around him. And I think right now we're just on the cusp and at the beginning of what's going to be a long-term dynasty with Patrick Mahomes here in Kansas City. And I'll tell you what, I'm excited about the future, having him here and paired with Andy Reid for as long as we possibly can, because I think great things are going to happen. And you may be sitting at 6-4, 7-4, whatever it is right now, and you're like kind of down where they are. Don't be down, man. This is just the beginning, and we're on the cusp of greatness for a long time with this group here in KC. And you watch these other teams, and you're just like, man, you guys are all missing out on the fun we're having.
I don't know what you're talking about. I enjoyed Thursday night football.
You're adorable.
And also, the New England Patriots put up 17 points last week, and six of those came because of Julian Edelman's touchdown pass.
Julian.
There was
a 17-10 game, too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was pretty boring.
But I like defensive football. So
I heard Bob say, well, the New England Patriots, they play exciting football. I'm like,
defensively, they do. Defensively, they're still really freaking good, man. Like, that defense out there, it's exciting to watch their defense play. When they go out, especially against the Jets, when they go out there, or the Dolphins, when they go out there and they just bludgeon an opponent, watching those cats play defense is really, really fun.
I mean, I enjoyed the only thing that I took away from last night, aside from the fact that I enjoy watching football games, is that it was difficult to watch some of the guys that were formerly of the Chiefs that are now on both the Texans and the Colts. That one was a hard pill to swallow, and also the fact that I'm sitting there watching and going, wow, we lost to both of those teams,
and that was
at home.
Right, at home, back-to-back weeks, yeah. You watch those teams play, and you're like, dang, how did we lose those games?
So, yeah, I think that when you start throwing around the D word, the dynasty word, like those are the things that I kind of settle back to. I'm like, man, you lost to these two teams at home. I feel
every team. I said they're going to be tough. Those are the tough outs.
And that's why I told you on Monday night, you don't like that win. I like that win because I didn't know that they could grind one out. It was against the Chargers. I don't care. They showed to me that they could grind out a win, and you're going to have to grind out some wins in January if you want to advance to February.
I would have preferred if they would have been able to convert on third downs, just got their defense off the field, but that's just me.
Your chance to win Smokehouse Barbecue, and it's official. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Your chance to win Smokehouse Barbecue. Each and every Friday at 6:15, we make our fantasy football selections for the weekend. Monday at 6:15, you tell us who are the best of the fantasy picks. You can win a $50 gift card and assorted sauces and spices from a Smokehouse Barbecue. We'll do wide receivers today, and Ryan, Mr. Ryan, with the first pick again.
That's a real shocker, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Stunner to everyone,
It's becoming,
Let's see, what do we have? Wide receivers this week. I don't think there's an answer to this other than Michael Thomas. I don't know if you have the first pick in the draft and you were taking a wide receiver, why you would pick anybody else other than him. He is the greatest thing since sliced bread, Michael Thomas.
So that's who you're going with? Is yes, that your final answer, Michael Thomas? Yeah. All right, you can go with Michael Thomas. That's fine. I'll get the second pick today, and I will go with Mr. Julio Jones of the Atlanta Falcons. Julio Jones is my pick with the second pick in today's Fantasy Pick to Pop.
I will take DeAndre Hopkins. I believe he'll have two touchdowns. I will take
him. All right. I like that pick. That's a good one. That is a good one, Josh. Keep that in your holster for next week.
Oh, okay.
I was kind of pissed that I couldn't take
him. Yeah, I know. You probably were. I was hoping I could steal him. It's going to have to be Mike Evans then. Mike Evans against Atlanta on the turf.
Yeah, there you go. So we got dueling wide receivers this week. Tampa Bay versus Atlanta.
There you go. It's a showdown in Atlanta and Hotlanta. So remember, Ryan picked Michael Thomas. Fesco picked Julio Jones. I have Mike Evans. You tell us who are the best of the fantasy wide receiver picks, and you can win a $50 gift card and assorted sauces and spices from Smokehouse Barbecue. Remember that Monday at 6:15.
I want to say it's been like 2 weeks in a row people have gotten this wrong, too.
Have they really?
Yeah, because I've got a couple of Smokehouse gift cards kicking around
back. Might just go ahead and give me a turkey. Yeah, I was going to say, just use it for your turkey this year for Thanksgiving, we're going to do, right?
I want to say they got the name and the pick right, but it wasn't the winner.
There was a close one last week, I think. There was a little touch and go there for a while.
Well, it was confusing how Christian McCaffrey piled up 31
points. That's exactly what it was.
And his team scored three.
He didn't score a touchdown and still had 30-some points because he had 11 receptions for like 115 yards last week out of the backfield for those Carolina Panthers. So, absolutely. Yeah, this time next week, I'll be eating leftover Smokehouse turkey because it will be Friday after Thanksgiving. Get ready for all the sales as we get out to the car and get ready to drive around town.
Right, haven't they already started? Why aren't they ready for them?
Yeah, they've been going on all month long. Because what happened is Thanksgiving is so late this year, and so because of Thanksgiving being so late, the shopping season has been condensed into like 3 weeks, for Christmas. And so everybody's running around freaking out and losing their minds. So
we better open the internet to this shopping thing.
That is exactly right. We got Cyber Monday, Black Friday, Super Tuesday, Small Business Saturday. A lot of big events coming up over the next couple of days, beginning a week from today. We got Black Friday,
Super Tuesday,
Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, and then Super Tuesday. That's right. That's where the SEC plays their basketball game, Super Tuesday. So that's all coming up in the next week plus.
And then we can't buy anything after
that? And then you cannot. Right. You're not allowed to buy
anything. And then you get some action on Wednesday.
That's right. Yeah, Wacky Wednesday comes your way, and then, terrific Thursday, and then you're back to Black Friday again, Small Business Saturday. Cyber
Rinse,
Monday.
Rinse, lather, repeat.
You will be able to buy stuff then after next
but
week.
But you won't get the deals, man. You won't get the same sales. The first day of free agency in the NFL and the NBA.
All the stores close up after
and
next
And the internet
week.
Shuts down, too, right?
Yes.
You can't buy anything.
The internet will close. Close for the holidays.
Better get this stuff done. Then I hate to miss out.
Didn't you do some big purchase last year on Black Friday that you were all peacocking around about? I think it was like some video game console
something. Yeah. I actually went to a store. No, it was that I actually went to a store on Black Friday, which was rare. I tried to avoid the stores.
Right, but you were lined up at 4 a.m. I got to get Miss Pac-Man. No, get out of my way.
Well, you don't even need to wait till Friday now. It's like Tuesday or Thursday at like 2 p.m.
No, which is ridiculous.
I stealth through a store. That's right.
You did. I think they stopped that Thursday stuff now with Thanksgiving. I think they've given up on
Thursday. I got an ad just the other day from a store that Thursday at 2 p.m. is when they open.
Thursday at 2 p.m. is when they open. That's usually when people are sitting down
to hell with
the Thanksgiving
family.
Meal. Yeah, don't be going out on Thursday. Enjoy Thursday at home. Enjoy
Nobody
Thursday
wanted to
with
watch
the family.
The Cowboys and Lions play anyway.
I do. I enjoy watching the Cowboys and Lions play on Thanksgiving Day. It's nostalgia for me.
Who's the extra game?
Don't know.
I don't either.
Cowboys and Lions, baby.
I wish there was a way we could look that up.
Yeah. Is there like a newspaper around here or something?
Just for the record, we are getting Raiders Jets here in Kansas City.
Of course we are. Yeah.
Coming, so you can scout ahead for the Chiefs' next opponent. Raiders and Jets at noon. Also Seattle and Philly.
Yep.
And then Dallas, New England, the late game tomorrow or Sunday afternoon.
Right.
So
Saints and Falcons, the next Thursday night.
Next Thursday night game. That's a Thanksgiving nightcap. Is Saints and Falcons?
Huh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. That's where I lost my survivor pool pick.
Is that
of the
at
Saints
the Falcons?
The Falcons.
Yes, that is.
So
in
you can get your if you're in Atlanta, you get all your discounted concessions on Thanksgiving night.
And Chick-fil-A will actually be open. Well, unless they're closed on a holiday, though. They do close on Sunday,
quite possible they're not open.
Good possibility that Chick-fil-A's not open on Thanksgiving in that stadium. Find that out.
Yeah, I'll give them a call.
Call down there right now.
Are
you guys
open?
I called that bagel shop for you yesterday to see if we could get an onion bagel.
You did, but that was at like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, you wanted an answer. I got it for you, right? Yeah, it's 6:20-something in Atlanta right now.
By the way, where have onion bagels gone? That was the burning question.
That was the question
You know where to find onion bagels.
It wasn't in the breakfast breads. No. It wasn't with it at all.
Six. Mm-hmm. It's become official. Major League Baseball owners unanimously approving the sale of the Royals. John Sherman acquiring the team from David Glass. Deal believed to be close to $1 billion. The dollar transaction expected to be completed next week. Yeah, I guess sign all that paperwork right. And then hand over the big check.
I don't know how that works. I don't know if that's just an electronic transfer, if they hand a check, if somebody has to supervise that. Is there a basket of cash? I mean, like, I don't know how any of that goes down.
But suitcases with handcuffs,
yeah.
I believe. Sherman will be introduced on Tuesday at Kauffman Stadium. But he spoke briefly at the Major League Baseball owners' meetings after the vote went through.
Really just like to thank my partner in Cleveland, Paul Dolan. He's been a great partner in the Four Seasons over there, and I look forward to being his partner for years to come in Major League Baseball. I would echo what the commissioner said, David Glass. He's done a lot for Kansas City, not only being the owner for the last 20 years, but really helping helping you and Kauffman kind of navigate that transition back in the 90s, which was really important to Kansas City. And then the other thing I'd like to say, I am deeply appreciative of the commissioner's office and my fellow owners for their confidence and trust in the vote today. It's a responsibility that I'll take very seriously. Thank you.
Now, I can't say I follow ownership transitions very much.
This one
seemed like super smooth, though.
Right.
I mean, obviously, the guy had a relationship in baseball already, been minority owner with the Cleveland Indians, had Glass's blessing. It wasn't like he turned it over to, like, a stranger.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
He was known in the baseball circles. This felt like, anyway, the smoothest transaction you could possibly have with a league.
It really did. And you're right. We don't follow them a lot because they don't happen a lot. And you really only follow them if it's happening to your team. But you can go back to the Miles Prentice situation that took place back in 1999 or 98, whenever that was, and how contentious that ultimately ended up being when he was trying to buy the Kansas City Royals. And we were looking for somebody to purchase the team here at the time. And nobody knew what was going to happen. They were being run by a committee. And it looked like for a while, Miles Prentice was the leader in the clubhouse, had a lot of Kansas Cityans on his side, you know, big name Kansas Cityans on his side that were kind of part of the investment group, which ultimately they looked at. And I think they determined at the time, if my remembering is correct, that he had way too many people involved in that investment group, and they just didn't feel like he was the right fit. And at the last minute, they were able to sell the franchise to David Glass, who essentially did save baseball in Kansas City. And I don't think that can be overstated, how David Glass did save baseball in Kansas City, because this franchise was in flux. And those were the early years of the contraction talk that was going on in Major League Baseball. They were talking about actually contracting franchises, and Minnesota's name was always thrown out there. But the Royals could have been a contracted team as well if David Glass didn't come in and buy this franchise when he did and take stewardship of this franchise for the last 20 years. We could have been looking at a town here in KC with no baseball team, and then we never would have gotten to experience 14 and 15 and how ultimately special those moments were for everybody here in town. And I think, you know, David Glass is owed a lot for stepping up and buying this ball club, because, you know, at that time, nobody wanted this team, Josh. Like there was nobody really interested in buying the Royals, and David Glass stepped up and purchased this ball club and ultimately kept it here in Kansas City. And here we sit now, where he's able to sell it to another Kansas City business owner, a big philanthropist in town, somebody who's been a Kansas Cityan his whole life. And that helps make the transition smooth, I know, for a lot of folks in KC. And I was at an event last night, and somebody very prominent in sports came up to me and said, "So the Royals are moving downtown, huh?" I go, "Yeah, that's kind of the word on the street. And so now we're going to get to see a new franchise owner, a new stadium, a new direction potentially, you know, for this ball club and under new ownership." I shouldn't say new direction, but, you know, continue the direction that we've been going with Dayton Moore leading the way, you know, of this organization. I think it's a very exciting time to be a Royals fan, to be a Kansas City, and to see where we're going to go, you know, with this franchise. And I think expectations need to be tempered. I don't think because there's a new owner, all of a sudden it's going to be George Steinbrenner, you know, in here spending money and $250 million payrolls and all that. The Royals are still going to operate the way that they've always operated. And it's going to be about developing that farm system and bringing the kids up and making an impact here with their young players and hopefully re-signing those young players to continue their successes here in Kansas City. So I think it's a great time. And back to your original point, yeah, to see this transition happen so smoothly and so easily was a no-brainer for everybody. And that's another great moment for David Glass. He found the perfect owner for Kansas City that would be approved, and this thing would just continue to move on, you know, like it has been doing for the last couple of years.
Again, Sherman will be introduced at a press conference at Kauffman Stadium Tuesday at noon, and we'll have it for you live right here on 610 Sports Radio. 69306 on the Protein House, Eat With a Purpose text line. Not only where you can find a good onion bagel, Ryan's asking that question today, but anything you'd like to riff on, we'll do that in a few minutes. And he isn't raising this boat. Next.
The blessing.
Fesco in the morning.
69306 of the Protein House, Eat With a Purpose text line. We will shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. 69306. Text in anything you'd like to discuss coming up in just a few. Patrick Mahomes, off the field, had a really good season.
Yes, he did, right? Didn't he? Yeah.
You can't drive 5 feet without seeing some kind of Mahomes billboard, commercials. He's done very well for himself in terms of endorsements.
Yeah, he really has.
Somehow he's managed to only take 3 pictures for all of these endorsements.
It's really good. It worked out well. Hey, man, the less you can do and the more you can make.
Very smart.
That's the way it works.
Smarter, not harder. I'm with you, Pat.
I was talking to somebody at an event I was at last night about Patrick Mahomes, and they said to me, has Kansas City ever seen somebody like this before? And I go, well, we had it with the Royals. I said, well, I don't know that we'll ever see a parade again like we saw with the Royals when they won the world championship and the way that they embraced the city. But from an individual standpoint, we've not had anybody like Patrick Mahomes, where you turn around and not just locally, but nationally, this guy's a star. Like, he is everywhere. He's on, all the national commercials that we see right now. He's become a star here locally. Like, we've never, ever, ever had an athlete that has been so beloved, really, and quickly beloved like this guy has become here in our town. And I think he's kind of now set the bar going forward. Like, we expect every year to be like it was a season ago with him on the playing field. And he's just been so phenomenal, and just really a game changer is not the right word, but like, he's just changed everything about the perception of the Chiefs as a franchise, I think, and the perception, that a lot of people may have had as Kansas City. I think he's our best ambassador right now.
Strange thing is, it didn't help the Forbes valuation.
Yeah.
In fact, the Chiefs fell in the 50 most valuable franchises in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They're tied for 47th with the Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh,
that is
the Arizona Cardinals. No way.
So they took a tumble in terms of their overall value, slipping from a season ago. The NFL continues to dominate this list, but the Chiefs are, in fact, the least valuable in terms of dollars, according to Forbes, in the division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that. Denver being a bigger market, obviously. You got a team that just moved to Los Angeles, and you got another one that's getting a new stadium and moving to Las Vegas, and I can understand why the Chiefs are the
Oakland,
least valuable.
You think would have the most would have an inflated value,
right?
But they were about the same as what they were before, even with being in Oakland.
Yeah, but they'll get a big kick once they move to Las Vegas and have that new stadium. But the Oakland brand is still a national and international brand. And I think if you were to look around the four teams that are in this division, if the Chargers were still in San Diego, I would say, okay, why are the Chargers ahead of the Chiefs? They're not a great brand. Nobody really knows much about the Chargers. But they're in Los Angeles now. That just being in Los Angeles alone takes your brand and takes your perception and takes it to a new level. You're a different type of team because you play in the second biggest media market in the United States of America. So they get the bump because of that. And all of these teams right now that we're looking at in our division, the Broncos have recent Super Bowl championships. Obviously, the Raiders are getting ready to move to a new team or a new city with a new stadium. The Chargers are in L.A. with a new stadium coming on board. The Kansas City Chiefs right now are kind of behind the eight ball when it comes to that national and international branding. That's why they're playing these games in Mexico City, why they want to play these games in London, and why the Chiefs want to be more prominent in these big-time games that are international to increase their brand awareness, to grow the value of their franchise, to sell more uniforms, to sell more jerseys. And Patrick Mahomes obviously has helped that a lot, in my opinion. But once they, get more on that international stage and more years of Patrick Mahomes, I think they're going to grow and grow and grow. And once the Royals vacate Kauffman Stadium and move downtown, I had a conversation last night with somebody that the Chiefs are building a new stadium. It's going to happen. It's going to be on that footprint of Kauffman Stadium from some of the discussions that I had last night. And ultimately, they're going to take what Arrowhead is right now and kind of turn that into an entertainment district and complex. And so the Chiefs are always out there looking to grow that brand and become a bigger brand and do things bigger because they want to grow the value of their franchise. And when you're in a market with the size of Kansas City, that's why it's been so important for the Chiefs to capture St. Louis and become a team in Des Moines and become the team that everybody roots for in Oklahoma City, to grow that brand, to grow that franchise, and to make that team as much money as possible right here in the Midwest. And that's ultimately what they want to do, because they realize they're competing with teams in Los Angeles and Denver and now in Las Vegas that have kind of a leg up on them just based on market size. And so I think as Patrick Mahomes continues to get better, the Chiefs continue to win more, they do more damage in the postseason, they play some of these international games, that brand will grow, and that Forbes valuation, once the new stadium comes on board for them in the next decade or so, that valuation will go up as well for the Chiefs.
So the Chiefs tied for 47th, Chargers 41st, Oakland 34, Denver 26. The NFL had 26 of the 50 spots on the world's
that's insane.
Valuable properties list. It was down from 29 a season ago, but 26 of the 50 spots on the list. And this is a world list as well. So the Cowboys are number one, followed by the Yankees, Real Madrid, Barcelona.
Where's Real Salt Lake?
It includes the international soccer powers and the New York Knicks at number five.
That's unbelievable. That's just for market size alone. Let me ask you this. Are you surprised that Denver's the best team in the division?
Yes.
I thought it would have been Oakland.
I would have said, even though I don't believe it, I would have said the L.A. Dodgers and the Chargers.
The L.A. Dodgers and the Chargers. But I still think the Oakland international brand, where you go into other countries and people are wearing the Raider thing, you know, that to me would have said, oh, yeah, the Raiders should be the most valuable franchise, and with the move coming to Las Vegas as well. Let's shout it out. 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. What do we got today, Brother Ryan?
Let's take a peek here. 816 says, from what I witnessed this morning, if you ever wondered if owls were afraid of hawks, they are not.
Oh.
Rest in peace, Mr. Shook A.F. Hawkington.
Oh, my. So an owl attacked a hawk. Wow, that's not a good look.
I don't know if they're like natural enemies, but owls are very much birds of prey. They will mess you up.
They will. I'll tell you what's afraid.
Owls ain't scared of anything.
No, owls do a great job of protecting you from woodpeckers as well, because we've had a woodpecker problem.
And also squirrels.
Not so much squirrels. We hung up a fake owl, and it's been up there like in our house, like hanging off the roof for a while now, a couple of years. Haven't had a woodpecker even come near the home. So if you got
the
a woodpecker
squirrels don't
problem,
care about the fake owl, though?
No, the squirrels have been a pain in the ass for us. We just spent $1,000 to eradicate squirrels.
I've got a pellet gun. I could have came over and just taken care of that for you.
Yeah, then you got to sit out there and wait. It'd take you hours. I mean,
I'll set up a hunting blind in your backyard.
Oh, you'll sit out there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, squirrels are good eating, man.
Some squirrels.
Yeah, we had to cut trees. We had to capture. I mean, it was a whole to do.
660 says, surprise 7:15 meetings suck.
Yeah, they do.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Write that down.
Right.
We don't know anything about that. Thankfully.
Also from the 660, shout out to Bob for helping connect Kansas City. Shout out to Kling for his masterful media diversity. And lastly, shout out to Ryan for keeping it super simple on the people.
Well, man, I appreciate that text, man. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah.
I do like to keep it simple on the people. That's true. Spinach artichoke dip would be a billion times better sans artichoke. I disagree.
I kind of agree with that. I think sometimes the artichoke gets, like, who wants to bite into a big chunk of artichoke?
Well, just chop it up better.
Well, if
I think it adds a nice flavor
to it.
You put
it a little finer, you wouldn't notice it.
Yeah.
Well, you can't tell the restaurant, take this back and run it through the food
processor. That's how I trick my kid into eating broccoli. I just chop it up really fine and put it in
chop
the rice.
Broccoli.
Yeah, put
chop
it in the broccoli. Rice. I like chopped broccoli.
913, would you put on an extra 50 pounds for 100K? I've done it for free, like
for free.
Twice.
Yeah, a couple of times. Yeah. So for 100K, you bet. Sure. Yes, absolutely.
913, also, my boss doesn't wash his hands when leaving the bathroom.
Oh, yeah, those are the worst people. Gross. I saved Josh from a non-hand washer one time.
Big save.
Like seconds after, you're like, he didn't wash his hands. Have a Twizzler. Josh's
what is
like,
Ray
okay
up to nowadays?
No, not different person. Different person. But I don't know.
Bob saved me. Slapped something out of my hand.
Yeah, like Josh has no short-term memory. The guy doesn't wash his hands, walks out of the bathroom.
We commented about it.
And then we sit down, and the guy's like, hey, Josh, have a Twizzler. And hands him a Twizzler. Josh's like, oh. I'm like, no! And Josh's like, oh, yeah, never mind.
I would have eaten that Twizzler. Oh, I'm fine with that.
Nope.
Just ask him to take one out. Like, can I get it out of the package instead of you?
Yeah, but his hand, if their hand's been in the package,
yeah,
same
then,
thing.
Then the germs are in
there. Then you think the germs have now been applied to all of the Twizzler?
Yeah.
The
Twizzly? Osmosis, yeah.
Interesting.
Can't do it.
Leftover turkey will go great in an egg, gravy, and cheese scramble.
That sounds good. I like that. I like your thinking, man. Okay. I like that.
Brooke Burke is all over the Roku homepage ads and still looks amazing. Who is your most underrated hottie of all time? Helen Mirren.
Oh, that's a good one. B. Arthur.
Helen Mirren is...
Do you see her?
I still would.
The back in the day photos of her?
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very underrated. Very, very underrated. Elegant as well.
Mm-hmm.
Lady Helen. Yeah. When talking sports with my friends, I tell them I have a source. You guys are my source.
That works.
Coming from Legend Derek. Thank you, Legend
That's
Derek.
Good. I like it a lot.
Eating 4 pounds of Chinese takeout is my favorite hotel pastime when on work trips.
4 pounds, man. That's a lot.
A lot of mooshu pork.
Yeah, if you need help at the hotel, call Tammy at the West and she'll give you some tips.
816 says it bothers them when their neighbors turn on their Christmas lights and tree before Thanksgiving. And let them people.
Yeah, come on, man. It puts you in a better mood. It really does. Like, I'm not a big, I want to decorate because I don't like, to work. But I enjoy looking at the decoration. So, yeah, let them go. And especially this year with Thanksgiving being so late, it's okay to get a little bit of a jump start on the holiday season.
I mean, as someone who likes to bitch about a lot of things, I can totally understand it. But, people who are complaining about Christmas music already being played, just change the damn station.
You don't have to listen to it.
You
yeah.
cannot listen to it.
That's
you know,
right.
it's like the people who bitch about the ketchup on a hot dog. Just don't eat it on your hot dog.
I can't believe they're playing Christmas music. It's like one station. Don't turn it on.
Them Johnsonville brat burgers, pretty damn good. Cool. Says the 816.
I've never had one of those. Like that, you take the brat and you turn it into a patty.
816 says my wife is a sleep farter.
Oh,
I mean, so is mine. She doesn't believe me, though.
No, they don't ever believe
me. She doesn't think. Stacey Dash, yes, a very underrated.
What is?
Stacey Dash, an underrated hottie.
Oh.
I agree with that. But I don't want to use the word hottie. That just sounded weird. My wife gets mad because
I... political commentator, then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My wife gets mad because I call out adult nose pickers. No, they...
Yeah, we all do it.
I mean, I pick my nose.
We all pick our nose. You all do it in the car.
Do not look underneath the driver's seat of my truck.
Yeah,
oh, everybody. My, really?
Just wrecked.
Flick it out the window.
Flick it out the window.
No.
That's disgusting.
That's my truck. I'm not going to sell it to anybody. I'm going to drive it till the wheels fall off.
That's fine, but still, flick it out the window.
Boogers will be holding it together.
I'm
Let's
sorry,
keep that
everyone.
Truck running. All those boogers under the seat.
All those boogers.
That's disgusting.
That is gross. That's disgusting.
That disgusting.
You didn't have a booger wall when you were a kid?
No.
No. I was not that kid.
Oh.
At least I'm not eating them.
Yeah.
What's worse, putting it on the wall or eating it?
It's six of one, half a dozen of the other.
No, that is not one you are ingesting it. The other one
but at
you're
least
just...
you're ingesting it. You're only hurting yourself.
You can wash the wall.
But that never leaves. You know the booger picking kid from your school,
yeah,
right? Yeah,
yeah.
That person is always the booger picker.
Yeah.
There was this kid I need
Kenny to know Nelson.
Named Chris. I'm not going to use his last name because he lives in this area. I don't want to out him, but... He would sit there and just shovel
Stop.
Him in. Just
yeah,
it, like he'd prop his head up on his hand and then he'd work his pinky in real incognito.
You say it doesn't hurt, but it sticks with you. It's a
you
lasting.
Are making me
it's a
sick.
Lasting.
Look, Bob, this is how he do it.
I don't want to look, and I'm not going to. I understand.
He'd incognito go back between the nose and the mouth.
It's just gross.
Back and forth all
shovel
day.
Shovel it in.
Oh,
nice.
You stole my 64 count crowns with a sharpener, Chris.
Ugh.
Not going to forget
Get your
that.
Finger out of your nose. That is today's edition, for better or worse, of Shout It Out. Got to do a better job or one man's trash. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
To me, when they're gone, they're forgotten. I don't pay much attention to when players are shipped off or let go or contracts expire and all that stuff. You go on and you go do you somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm kind of on your side with this. Ryan, on the other hand, is not.
But Ryan has been closely monitoring former Chiefs, and you're not that pleased about it.
That's not true.
Why do you do this to yourself?
That's not true.
Why are we
doing
this?
The setup of this has been horrible, and you guys have painted me in a corner.
Are you still one of these guys that's complaining about Zach Greinke? Look what he could have done for us. He's winning all these games.
I was watching Thursday Night Football. I'm watching Carlos Hyde as he's on pace for 1,000 yards, averaging 4.9 yards a carry for the Houston Texans. I see Justin Houston record
a
sack.
A lot of that was padded by the Chiefs' defense, brother.
Okay. 4.9 yards per carry, Bob.
Right. Padded by the Chiefs' defense.
They had one game against the Chiefs. Justin Houston had a sack in 7 straight games. Oh, sorry, he made it 8 last night, I believe. I might be wrong, give or take one. Let's just go with 7. He's on pace for 14 this season. So there's Justin Houston going to work in Indy. I'm watching Carlos Hyde. I saw a tweet from one Jeremy Fowler yesterday.
Who?
Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. One Steelers defender who's quietly playing really well, Steven Nelson, who is ranked as Pro Football Focus's number 10 corner.
You mean semi-pro football
out of focus? He doesn't give up touchdowns. Yeah. Quote, he's been unbelievable, Mike Hilton said. When he's been targeted, he's been pretty much shut down.
Well, I put that quote on the back of my baseball card.
Yeah, that's a good one to have in your cereal box when Steven Nelson gets Nelson.
You've got a shutdown corner you let walk here. Carlos Hyde, who's averaging 4.9 yards per carry down in Houston that you traded away. You got Justin Houston, who's on pace for a 14-sack season in Indy. And I can't help but believe that a linebacker and a running back, and to a much lesser degree a cornerback, would significantly help this Chiefs team. Now, again, I told you guys last time, maybe it's a huge oversimplification of it. Like, I think all of them have motivational factors outside of that. Like, Justin Houston likely playing for his next contract, maybe has something to prove as far as, hey, I'm going to show you guys what you let go, what you let walk. Carlos Hyde, maybe it was a fit in the system, maybe it was a fit in the scheme, whatever the case may be.
And he didn't show you anything in the preseason.
Yeah, what did you see out of Carlos Hyde? Like, when he was traded, nobody cared.
Yeah,
like,
he was hot boo-boo in training camp. Which, it turns out, maybe training camp doesn't matter.
I don't necessarily think it does.
And then Steven Nelson, I think, obviously, you know, the Bob Sutton effect really hurt Steven Nelson last year. But I think, overall, we were extremely hard on Steven Nelson, yourself included, Bob.
But also, he was about to get paid.
Yeah.
He got a nice bump that I don't know the Chiefs were going to be in on.
I just can't help but think to myself that those three players in particular would significantly help the Chiefs and where they're at right now. And again, to a much lesser degree, cornerback, because I think that we've kind of overblown the need for a corner here in Kansas City. Like, I think you're doing fine. But Carlos Hyde certainly would be an upgrade right now with what you have in your running game. Justin Houston would certainly be an upgrade of what you had for your linebacking core. It just makes me question the direction of where we're headed and what we're capable of doing
He's not a middle linebacker,
and that's kind of what you need the most of right now.
So, I mean, could I have used Justin Houston? Absolutely, absolutely. But scheme fit wise, I don't know if he's. I mean, you went with Frank Clark,
right?
For whatever your evaluation said Frank Clark, right, for the future.
Frank Clark.
Yeah, certainly that positionally doesn't quite fit. Carlos Hyde didn't show anything. He's also fumbled four times. We're complaining about three fumbles for LeSean McCoy. Carlos Hyde's fumbled four times. Would we be just as mad at Carlos Hyde if he had four fumbles and the same amount of yards per carry as LeSean McCoy?
Yeah.
Quite possibly. So that might have been a wash. And then Steven Nelson, I know personally, I just didn't like him. Yeah. I was like ready for like what he seemed to have a skewed vision of the defense than the rest of us had. But also he did play himself into a nice little contract that I don't think the Chiefs needed to be in on.
And his last impression here in Kansas City was just getting torched in the AFC Championship game. So I think the Steven
Nelson.
His
last impression for me was selling all his stuff
His stuff. That is true. Yeah, I forgot about the yard sale that he was having out there. But I think ultimately what I look at, and I'll go individual like you guys did too, Steven Nelson and the Chiefs, like that was just a marriage that was done. You know, like we're done here. I don't like you anymore. You don't like me anymore. Best of luck to you. Go on your merry way and do your thing and see what happens. Congratulations, Steven. I think that was one of those deals, guys, where it was just a marriage that had gone wrong. You know what? You're not a bad person. We're not bad people, but we just don't work anymore. We'll figure it out with the kids. Have a nice day. I think when you look at Carlos Hyde, he was behind Damian Williams, who produced last year. He was behind Darwin Thompson, who they drafted. He was behind Dar Williams, who was here last year. And you also had LeSean McCoy coming in at that time. Plus, you needed another offensive lineman. And Carlos Hyde was very expendable. Nobody even really looked at that move when it happened and really gave a rat's behind about it. They got, you know, the Mankins guy in return, who did a nice job of filling until he got hurt, obviously, for the Chiefs on that offensive line where everybody's gotten hurt this year. But you can't look at it right now and go, they should have kept Carlos Hyde. Where were those comments coming when they got rid of Carlos Hyde? And Justin Houston, the guy's on the north side of 30. They were switching schemes up a little bit. They wanted guys that were going to be here long-term and grow with this team, not a guy that maybe had one more year left in the tank, and that's ultimately why they decided to go away from Justin Houston. So I think all the reasonings why, when they happen, yes, make a lot of sense. Would you like 14 sacks in here? Yeah. But is your run defense any better with Justin Houston? I don't know that it is.
And look, Bob, like, my point isn't necessarily that you needed to retain those three players. And I understand that maybe contracts, maybe the money wasn't there. Steven Nelson, $24 million over the next 3 years. Justin Houston, he's a $14 million cap hit this year. Both of those guys signing really short-term contracts that were kind of prove-it deals, right?
Yeah.
Like, both teams have potential outs after this year for both of those guys as well. So, like, my point isn't that you necessarily need to keep those three individuals, but it does start to raise some concerns when you couple that together with the drafting ability of Brett Veach and the guys that he has let kind of leave. Whenever we talk about the New England Patriots, we're like, what's one of the biggest skills that the Patriots have?
They
have the ability
players
to move on from a guy when there's nothing left, right? Like, outside of maybe Albert Haynesworth, or Vince Wilfork. Sorry, I don't know why Haynesworth came to mind, but like Vince Wilfork. Outside of him, like, I can't really think of a lot of guys who left the New England Patriots and went on to continue to have just huge seasons after that. And so just like,
no, they don't.
Just like the ability to identify when there's nothing left in the tank and the ability to identify players in the draft, like, it's starting to raise some concerns for me. And I think that Andy Reid likely has more hand in it than Brett Veach does. And so some of this does fall back on Andy Reid, but like, just, you know, playing the results very much, admittedly so, playing these results, like, looking back on the guys that you've let go because you didn't think they had anything left in the tank, man, you're 0-3 this season.
Well, but I don't think they would have fit what the Chiefs were necessarily wanting to do. Like, you don't look at individual seasons. I think we all get bogged down in just this year. The Justin Houston, let's just look at it as a Justin Houston Frank Clark swap. Is that fair to do for argument's sake here, or not argument's sake, but discussion's sake? Frank Clark has signed up the long term. Frank Clark is 25 years old. He's 6 years younger than Justin Houston, roughly, okay? He's younger than Justin Houston, and he plays this scheme. Justin Houston was a linebacker that played a different scheme that in a 4-3 deep, and I hate to get geeky on this, but in a 4-3 style defense, Justin Houston is not the linebacker that they believed was a fit in this scheme. And I think being on the north side of 30 is huge. Like, the Chiefs right now, from what I've been told, are not going to get involved with long-term expensive contracts for people that are over 30 years old. They're just not going to do that anymore, okay? So you got Frank Clark. Yeah, you're paying him some money, but he's 25 years old, and you expect him to grow and get better as the years go on. That was looked at as a long-term investment for the Kansas City Chiefs, because they believe that they, as an organization, and this is the way you have to operate, they don't believe, like, we're talking about Super Bowl year, must win Super Bowl, all that kind of stuff. They're not looking at it like that. They're looking at extending this thing out for as long as they possibly can and having a long-term dynasty here with players, as opposed to just a hit it and quit it type of thing. If they wanted to hit it and quit it like Andy tried to do those last 2 years in Philadelphia, they'd have done it and gone 6-10. They're out here planning long-term and guys that can be here for a long term. Justin Houston wasn't going to be that guy. Carlos Hyde is a dime a dozen running back. I'm not going to lose sleep over Carlos Hyde down in Houston, and there's no guarantees Andy would have even utilized him the same way here in Kansas City that maybe they're utilizing him down in Houston. And again, with Steven Nelson, that was a marriage that just gone bad. Like, that was just done. You're just breaking up and moving on. No harm, no foul. It's okay to do that kind of stuff. So I think ultimately those are the reasons why they passed up on those three players. And you can look back at it and go, man, that sucks that we don't have this guy or that guy. But you got to look at it long term and how it projects out long term. And I think ultimately for the long term solutions of this ball club, those were the right moves.
But I think we're also still fair to question, especially with Brett Veach, right? We're still all trying to figure out what exactly he is as a general manager. Good portion of
absolutely
that is player selection, mm-hmm, and player evaluation and those types of things, not just in the draft, but when you're going and grabbing free agents or making trades and what have you. And I think that's, Ryan, I think a very fair part of the evaluation of Brett Veach for sure.
And I think you got to, I do, and I know you guys are all going to laugh, but I think when a guy's sitting there 4 years ago watching an offensive lineman at Texas Tech and sees the quarterback and demands that, hey, this is the guy we're drafting, you know, you give him credit for getting that guy right that nobody in this organization has gotten right since Lenny. I mean, like, and then really the first legit quarterback they drafted ever in 60 years of this franchise.
But the job continues after
that.
Sure
it does. Absolutely.
Why pick the quarterback and move on.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, that is a tremendous feather in your cap. But just like Dayton Moore and Ned Yost whenever they won the World Series. Like, we had the conversation. How long does that honeymoon phase last sure. for you? Like, this is a very much what have you done for me lately business that Brett Veach is existing in. And for us not to step back and be critical of what's going on from what your job is, because we've heard about, like, what do the Chiefs do well? What do you think Brett Veach does well at this point? Because there are certain aspects of being a general manager that you have to be able to identify when it's time to move on from a player and when it's time to retain a guy. You have to be able to identify talent in the draft. You have to be able to trade and put your team in positions to be successful. And, you know, so far, aside from a Patrick Mahomes draft, which, you know, still you give credit to Andy Reid, John Dorsey was on watch when that happened. Like, you know, it's still kind of ambiguous as to how much Brett Veach played a factor in that. Like, up to this point, there are a lot of red flags, and I think it is certainly fair to question what direction you're heading in when you're letting guys go that still have what appears to be plenty left in the tank. And again, I'm not saying that you need those particular three players, but it does cause concern for me going forward when you're letting guys leave your team who are still productive NFL players.
Well, and I think, you know, the ultimate question is who has final say too, you know, like how much is it Brett Veach making the decisions or how much of it is Brett Veach carrying out what the head football coach wants? Cause I tend to think,
which is why he's got ultimate job security, because we all know, I mean, that he's tied to the head coach.
I think most of it is the head coach saying this is who we want and this is what we're going to do.
Who's got ultimate say. And so he's good as long as Andy's good.
Yeah, and I think as he carries out what Andy wants to see, maybe you'd like a little more pushback or whatever, but I think like Brett will find you, you know, the guys and bring them to Andy, and Andy will – I think Andy has ultimate say in every player personnel decision that is made inside that front office.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Kansas City, radio.com sports station. Chiefs, of course, on their bye. They have the Raiders up next. Raiders have the Jets coming up on Sunday. $25 to Diametric Brewing. That is our 7 o'clock hour prize just for listening. And Ryan makes it easy to win.
You know, I like to keep it super simple on everyone involved. All you have to do is listen and dial. You'll listen for this.
Drug test those people.
That's kind of where I'm at. next time you hear that, be caller number.
I'm going to go 12 for where the Chiefs rank in passing defense. 12.
Caller number 12 next time you hear that drop to 913-576-7610. And I'm going to hook you up with $25 to the Ainsworth.
So now for the moment, Chiefs are 7-4. They're on the bye. Raiders are 6-4 heading to the matchup Sunday with the Jets. They win. They're 7-4. They're tied. They're coming to Arrowhead on the first.
Also, that's not true. I give $25 to Diametric.
Yeah, I was just saying.
I was way off.
7-4 coming to Arrowhead a week from Sunday, right? So it's a battle for first in the AFC West. There's a battle. Whether we like it or not, it's, the race is much closer than maybe we all thought.
Won't be after Sunday.
One guy thinks it's going to be a runaway, and that's John Clayton, who joined the drive yesterday here on 610 Sports Radio. The Chiefs will run away with the West.
Certainly the Patrick Mahomes injury just changed the whole equation, because you know now you're talking about the best quarterback to enter the league in X many years. Now he's not moving probably as well as he can, but at least he's back, and he came back quicker than I think anybody expected, which I think was good. And, you know, when he was healthy, and he's still, I think, going to get healthier, I mean, they look to me to be the number two seed. Because, again, he's just that good. I mean, you know, he's not getting the 30 points that he normally gets. I think he'll get back to that level. But, you know, I still think that they run away with the division.
Run away with the division. Wow. I mean, I think they win the division. I don't know if they run away. But if you're prediction comes true, the Jets beat the Raiders, and then the Chiefs then beat the Raiders as well.
And that's a runaway right there.
They're 6-6, and yeah, it's I mean, what 8-4, 6-6. Yeah, it's Dunsky with two wins in hand. Mm-hmm. You do kind of run away with the division,
right?
So probably hinges on really the next 2 weeks.
Yeah,
for them.
I think for the Raiders, yeah, obviously it does. It's a big 2 weeks coming up for them, and obviously I've been saying for the last 2 weeks they're going to go to New Jersey and lose that game to the Jets with the cross country travel and all. And by the time they get here to Kansas City, which is why we've seen this game hyped up, you know, this week, because they know next week there's not going to be a lot of hype for the game from a national level, because the Raiders are going to go out to New Jersey and they're going to lose that game at the Meadowlands.
We can just tease that now. That'll be the 8:15 risk for the brisket pick. Right?
Yeah. Fairness, okay. They did flex it to the afternoon. So,
yeah, they did.
Remember, national game.
Remember, we'll officially make it at 8:15, but remember Monday at 8:15, Bob's prediction will be
Jets beat the Raiders.
Right.
Yeah, Jets will beat the Raiders.
Your chance to win Smokehouse Barbecue at 8:15 on Monday.
Correct. Okay. Absolutely. We'll give it to you a little earlier today. Yeah, the Jets are going to beat the Raiders. And yeah, they did flex it because they
have. No sense holding on to that one. I knew that. You've been pounding the table all week on that. I'm like, or 2 weeks now for that.
You got to flex, 12 days out. So that's why they had to make that decision. And ultimately, yeah, Patrick Mahomes against a national brand like the Raiders. Yeah, you'll put that on, especially if the Raiders are playing decent enough football. So I understand why they flexed that game, but I just don't think it's going to be a 7-4 v 7-4 like a lot of folks want it to be, because I just don't still have confidence in the greatness of the Raiders to go across country and to win a game, because I believe they're still too young. I believe it's a look-ahead game. I believe it's cross-country travel. I believe it's an early start. And all of those things are factors against the Raiders trying to go out and win a football game. And so ultimately, to Clayton's point, if the Raiders ultimately do lose this game and they're sitting at what are they now? 6-4.
And four.
So they'll be 6-5 coming in here after that game against the Chiefs. They'll be 6-6.
Chiefs will be 8-4.
Chiefs will be 8-4. That's a 2-game lead with 2 head-to-head wins. Yeah, I mean, barring something unforeseen in the final 3 games, that's a runaway of the division. Absolutely runaway of the division for the Kansas City Chiefs, because the Chargers are done and the Denver Broncos have been done since last year. So I think, yes, a 2-game lead. If the Chiefs are 8-4 and the Raiders are 6-6, next week after that Sunday game at Arrowhead Stadium, then yeah, that is a complete runaway with the division, and Clayton has nailed it right on. Now, if for some reason, some by miraculous, deal, the Raiders beat the Jets and then they come in here at 7-4, well, then maybe we're talking about something different next week, and it's not a runaway of the division, then it will be a game that will matter for the division. It becomes a must-win game, for the Kansas City Chiefs, and a must-win game for the Oakland Raiders as well, and then you got yourself a clash. But I just don't see that happening, because I don't believe the Raiders are going to hold up their end of the bargain.
And you can believe they're the second-best team, but that doesn't mean they'll get the second seed. The Chiefs could be playing their best football heading into the postseason and fully healthy and all those things, and might not be able to get back to that second seed status.
Yeah, I talked to somebody last night that they're like, I don't expect the Chiefs are going to get that second seed. Like, there's a lot of folks around the league conceding right now that New England and Baltimore are the top two seeds.
Would be a little bit tougher.
Yeah.
I'd conceded the one a long time ago, but the two could be. I was hoping that would be the case. They would be able to get the two seed. They still can.
They still absolutely can. Yeah.
But it's not within their their realm of grabbing it at this point in time. They may end up being the second best team in the AFC and not be the two seed.
Right, because what the narrative has been this week, right? I don't know if you've been following it a lot this week, but the Baltimore Ravens
are unbeatable.
The Baltimore Ravens were the flavor of the week, and now all of a sudden there's a lot of folks saying, well, they got that Monday night game in LA. It's about time they come back down to earth. The Raiders clearly have become the flavor of the week this week for a lot of folks in the NFL, because if they don't jump on them now, they're never going to be able to jump on the Raiders. But I think the Raiders have kind of moved up a little bit into that flavor of the week category, and there's been some kind of like, well, Baltimore, they've been on a run lately, and now they got to go out to L.A. and cross country for them on a Monday night big stage. Like, this is the week where they can fall down. The Rams are a desperate team. Like, you're starting to hear some of that as well. And so if Baltimore does go out to Los Angeles ultimately and lose that game, well, that gives the Chiefs a little bit more of an opportunity to grab that two seed, but Baltimore would have to falter a lot the rest of the way, and it's still going to be very difficult for the Chiefs to grab that two seed as long as Houston is in front of them as well, because they've got the head-to-head against the Kansas City Chiefs, and as of last night's game, the Chiefs are now the four seed, so they'd have to jump a team they'd have to jump two teams now to get back into that bye week scenario for the postseason, and that could ultimately be tough to do. I think the Chiefs are going to win out, but I still think at 12-4, where they've positioned themselves with the AFC losses and the teams that are ahead of them, it's still at 12-4 going to be tough to grab one of those top two seeds.
Which, does put a little tougher push on it for a postseason run.
Sure it does.
Although, you can't change, I wouldn't change anything with how you handled the injury and all those things, again, just to get a higher seed. Will you make ultimately the road a little bit more difficult? Yeah, quite possibly, but I'm kind of good with that. The Chiefs are playing their best football at the end of the season. I hope to be in a position where it'd be like anywhere, anytime. Like,
right.
Who cares?
Right, exactly.
So I'm hoping they can get to that stage where it's like, it doesn't matter, home, away, playing an extra game, all those things. If you're good, you're good. And I'm hoping they're in that position where that's how we're evaluating them then, mm-hmm. and not lamenting, well, boy, they could have really used being a bye and needing that excuse of having a bye. And like, just go out and beat people. I'm hoping we get to that stage.
Right. And I think, though, that bye is so important of getting to the Super Bowl. I think Ben Maller talked to us yesterday about that. Since 2012, every team that's made the Super Bowl has had a bye, I think, or something like that in the first round. So having that bye is key to getting to that Super Bowl, and hopefully the Chiefs can kind of, you know, thwart that, if you will, this year.
There's been all those stories too. There's been also, remember the wild card team was getting there for a while. You know,
depends on the year.
Yeah, it feels like it just hasn't happened in recent vintage. But doesn't mean it's insurmountable to do that. And it could be just teams were seeded properly, or earned the seed and then validated it in the postseason, right?
Right.
By playing their best football after being, I want to say, rewarded with the seed because that. They earned it, and then proved that they were the best team.
Well, there was a while there, you know, like you go back to that Philadelphia Eagles, Oakland Raiders Super Bowl, and either the Eagles or the Raiders were a wild card team that year. I think it was Oakland became the first team to win it as a wild card, if I'm not mistaken, in that Super Bowl. I don't recall, it was so long ago. But I know one of those teams was a wild card team and it was the first to get to a Super Bowl. And then after that, it didn't happen for a while. Like wild card teams just didn't make it to the Super Bowl. Giants won 2 Super Bowls over the New England Patriots as a wild card team. Right. So like it can happen. Wild card teams absolutely can still get into the Super Bowl. But over the last couple of years and in recent vintage of the last 5 years, the wild card team has not been able to get in. Now in baseball, the wild card team wins, they get in, and they're the hot team. They're the team that nobody wants to face. So maybe in football, we can kind of pick up what baseball has and be that wild card team that nobody wants to face because they're playing good football right now. And that could ultimately be the Chiefs, because I don't care if you have a bye in the first round of the playoffs or not. If you're Baltimore or New England, in the divisional round, and you don't want to see Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. That's a pretty good pretty good matchup for you. Yes, they played an extra game, but also they played an extra game.
Right.
So now the other team's rusty.
Right.
Exactly. It just depends how you want to spin it.
Yeah.
I just want the Chiefs to be playing their best football entering the postseason, and that I have the feel that whatever number's next to them,
right,
let's go play.
And I don't think this team has played their best football yet this season. I think they've played their best offense in September. I think we've seen their best defense against the Minnesota Vikings, but we haven't seen a full effort where this team has played their best game of football yet. And that, to me, as we're hitting December, is still very promising because you haven't played your best yet.
Matt and KCK, your winner of $25 to Diametric Brewing, just for listening. That was your 7 o'clock hour prize. Give stuff away at 8 and 9 as well. Just because it's the bye week doesn't mean we're not going to play.
Who are we talking about?
Next.
Fesco in the morning.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.